Welcome to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and I am beyond excited today to share with you one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of Acts. I've spent quite a bit of my ministry career in this book, learning from it and training others how to do exactly what the apostles do in this book, namely spreading the gospel and planting churches in their wake. You could say that the book of Acts is actually the origin story of the church. But what is it about a superhero origin story that captures the imagination of the world and takes box offices by storm? Maybe it's the powerful message of superhero origin stories that ordinary people just like us can do extraordinary things. We see ourselves in those stories and we get sucked into them. You see, an origin story places you right in the middle. The book of Acts is the origin story of the church. And if you're a part of the church, that means you're also a part of this story. Therefore, this book is also your origin story. Imagine if we didn't have Acts. You wouldn't know what happened between Jesus' resurrection and the book of Romans. You'd ask yourself, who's Paul? And why do I care what he says? So let's read verse 1 to hear why the book of Acts was written. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. That's Luke talking, by the way. He's the author of this book, the same author as the Gospel of Luke. In fact, this is part 2 of that gospel, or Luke the sequel. When Luke, a physician who came to faith on Paul's second missionary journey, joins him as a missionary companion in Troas, well, he had a lot of time on his hands, most likely in prison, chained next to Paul. He began to compose a history of how the church started up from a small band of disciples in Jerusalem to become a worldwide movement. Not just a teeny movement, but one that, according to a quote from the Pharisees later in the page of Acts, says, they turned the world upside down. And they really did. Notice what he says here. All that Jesus began to do and to teach. You see, the book of Acts tells us Jesus isn't done working, and he's not done speaking. He's going to ask and speak through his followers, the apostles, as they become filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit works powerfully through them. It's the Acts of Jesus through the apostles. And what the disciples did after Jesus ascended into heaven kicked off a movement that eventually led to you hearing about him too. The good news of Jesus that they spread in the pages you're about to read eventually made its way through the corridors of history to you. You are a link in this chain. They heard the gospel and passed it on to others who passed it on to others. And eventually you'll hear the gospel, the good news, and you'll pass it on to others still. And that's why this book was never finished, because the story is still being told through you. You see, the book of Acts trails off in chapter 28, with no finish or closing summary, with Paul arriving in Rome, the epicenter of the world at that time. But if the old saying, all roads lead to Rome, is true, then equally, all roads lead out from it too. The good news of the gospel arrives in Rome, and it's just getting started on its travels. It's about to punch a ticket for everywhere else. So let's jump back into the beginning of this origin story, the story of the church where we see Jesus meeting with his disciples in chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, oh, by the way, that's you. That means lover of God. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Wow! Jesus appears to them for 40 days. I can't help but wonder what he was saying to them, but I'm pretty sure he was explaining much that they didn't understand while he was alive, and readying them for the journey to tell them what his life, death, and resurrection all meant. But there is one conversation Luke allows us to eavesdrop in on in chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." This is a big event in the book of Acts. In fact, it's the key to everything else that's going to follow. Skip to Acts 1:8 when Jesus gives them their mission, telling the disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit was going to drop like a bomb in Jerusalem. And from that epicenter, the force of the blast would blow the gospel through them from Jerusalem, Judea, out to Samaria, and finally to the ends of the earth, just like we see in Acts 28. That's quite the impact crater. But that verse actually provides us with an outline of the book of Acts. You see, Luke traces the geographic spread of the gospel from its humble beginnings in Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Their witness in Jerusalem is found in chapters 1 through 7. Chapter 8 covers their witness of Jesus spreading to Judea and Samaria. And then from chapter 9, the book begins to swing outwards to the end of the earth. And it does so by focusing on a man called Saul of Tarsus, later renamed Paul. Paul becomes the missionary that changes the good news of the gospel from being a sect of Judaism that claims Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah to actually becoming a global faith that claims Jesus is the Savior of the world. Listen to these amazing statistics that show the spread of the gospel. In AD 100, there were as few as 25,000 Christians in the world. In AD 310, however, there were over 20 million. But when Jesus tells them here it'll reach the ends of the earth, I don't know about you, but if I'm standing there, that sounds like an impossible task. And left to ourselves, it is mission impossible. But that's why Jesus mentions the Holy Spirit empowering them in that verse. They had witnessed the impossible. They had seen Jesus raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus promises that same power would help them accomplish something equally impossible. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then he says, and you will be my witnesses. So he not only gives them the mission, he gives them the power to accomplish that mission. And he still does that today. This is how Jesus continues to act and speak through his people, through the Holy Spirit empowering each one of us. I love the fact that Jesus doesn't say, "You'll be my evangelist," because quite frankly, I'm a terrible evangelist. But I can be a witness. I can testify of who Jesus is in my life and what he's done for me. And we can all witness to his power in us. And throughout Acts, you'll witness the followers of Jesus waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit in chapter 1, receiving it in chapter 2, leading thousands to Jesus, healing and working miracles in chapter 3, and even being empowered with death-defying boldness in chapter 4 to keep Jesus' witness alive and spreading. Sadly, you'll also witness church corruption in chapter 5 and how the church deals with it. And in chapter 6, you'll meet the first martyr or witness who's killed for Jesus. From there, the persecution gets real bad, but it causes the gospel to spread outward into the world. And interestingly, that's how Luke marks success in this book. Let's read Acts 6:7. "So the word of God spread. The numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." Chapter 12, verse 24. "But the word of God continued to spread and flourish." Every time Luke comes to the end of a section, he actually uses that kind of summary. This is the origin story of the church. How the word of God spread, disciples were made, churches were planted. It's your story and mine, but we'll continue that on our journey through Acts, through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.